bastard storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. This is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you here in the air at Holy Spirit Radio. And it is a new month of September 2019. The fall season is upon us. It's been a great summer, and we have a lot to look forward to. As we begin our show, I just want to thank Frank for producing our show this morning and for Dale and Jane for having me back on the air. And our show this morning is actually dedicated to all of the victims of Hurricane Dorian. And it has been a very challenging time for those people who are residing in the Bahamas and in Florida and the Carolinas. So we just pray for them for their safety and for the truly the recovery of their families, their possessions, and a lot of peace and love to transcend this most difficult time. As you know, our show is titled Finding God in Prison, and we have been actively working in the Philadelphia prison system. We are now in our ninth year. We've had more than 1,600 men come through our program, and currently we started a new class of 30 men, working with Bill Monick at the CFCF facility, or the Coron Framo Correctional Facility. And we have some terrific men in our class, for sure. And we just will highlight some of the things going on in our classroom with our show this morning. And also on our show today, we're going to highlight our trip to Australia, to Melbourne and Sydney, Australia, which was a tremendous two-week experience. We'll share some of the highlights for that trip with you. And we're going to be talking heavily about the gospel upcoming for Sunday, September 8th, the Gospel of Luke. So let me just start off by saying God bless you today, and welcome back to all those children who are back in school this morning. We just want to start off with a prayer for those kids who are really entering first grade today, like my grandson, Dominic. So we're going to start off with a little prayer in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunity for all of our children to go to school today. We pray for their health and well-being, for their safety and protection. We pray for all of the teachers who are out there motivating, educating, and inspiring our children, helping to create new habit patterns, form tremendous positive minds, giving them a mindset conducive for the Lord's values, morals, and ethics. Father God, we just put our children into your hands. We ask that you bless those caregivers. And the Lord's word says, do not mislead the children. So we pray that those caregivers, those teachers' aides, and everyone involved in our educational systems, both public and Catholic and Christian and charter schools, that the Lord will bless them to lead the children in the right direction. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it is a special time again because our children are back in school and the fall season is upon us. And we want to highlight now some of the things going on in the WINGS program. As I said earlier, we're in our 26th year in the WINGS program and our ninth year in the Philadelphia prison system. And Bill Monick and I are working heavily to really transform some of the hearts and minds with our WINGS program of the men who are in the class. And we've had many men come through, and recently we have quite a few men in their 20s and 30s and 40s in our class. And some of the men, you know, in our class are 33 years old and have already spent 14 years in prison. And that's an amazing revelation. Truly, imagine spending, you know, half of your life almost in prison and you're only 33 years old. And as we, you know, move around the room and talk to the men, we're always interested in, you know, their mindsets. We meet people where they're at, no matter what the age is or the incarceration experience, the education, the family set. We basically meet people where they're at, and we try to bring them the love of God and give them a high level of support with a high level of accountability. So in our class previously, this Wednesday, we had a very, very dynamic classroom with a lot of interaction with our men. And some of the things that came out of it were these. Number one, you know, the number one change that people have to make truly is better decision making. Many of our men have made, you know, decisions that are conducive for losing their freedom, but getting locked up once again to violate probation. And so that seemed to be a common theme throughout the class. A second change that most of the men had to make is that circle of people around them, people who are impacting them in a negative way, moving them back into bad habits. And it could be drug using, alcoholism. And we have many men who truly have to make that change to give up the addiction. The incarceration comes from the addiction for many of our men, as more than 50% of the men incarcerated are either drug users or selling drugs. So this is just a powerful opportunity for us to get to the hearts and minds of our men and to motivate them through the Word of God, getting them lined up with what God says to do and not to do, to help them to make those changes in making better decisions, in truly, you know, eliminating negative people from their lives. Could be family, friends, associates on the street. But either way, they must go positive and eliminate the negative. And that circle of influence is just such a important part of success and reentry as we know it, because many of our men have returned as a result of bad relationships. And along with that, we have, you know, approximately 30 men in our class, and it's been a great opportunity to get to know 30 new people. And one of the things that came out was truly the desire for men to move into a relationship with God. And this is a faith-based program, the WINGS program. And so as we meet 30 new men, we see that there are men who are really hungry for the Word of God, hungry for the blessings of obedience, which are, you know, so great that Moses tells us about in the book of Deuteronomy. And we share that with our men as we try to help them to see the difference between doing what God says to do or not to do. And those blessings of obedience, you know, as a reward for heeding the decrees that God has put out there. The Lord will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children, bless you in your homeland where you were destined to live, bless you in your work, and no man or woman among you will be childless. The Lord will bless you with children. And it's a powerful thing. He will also bless you with good health and give your diseases to your enemies. And this is the promise that the Lord makes in the book of Deuteronomy. And it was Moses who shared that with the Israelites. And I just put it out there to you because on Wednesday night, that made an impact on the hearts and minds of many men in our class. And it's powerful. So the men are hungry. And this is, you know, a show titled Finding God in Prison. A lot of our men truly are without friends and family for weeks and months and even years. And as a result of only, you know, 2 half-hour visits a week, if they get one, or an hour visit a week, as a result of that, they find a lot of, you know, time to focus on their faith. And we have many men inside our class who are hungry once again for the Lord's word and hungry for a relationship with God. They're ready to receive blessings versus consequences. And this is, you know, really a revelation for them. And we just want to lay it out there that this is a 10-week program, runs for 20 sessions and 50 hours, and there are writing assignments. And we have the opportunity to touch not only them, but other cellmates and other men inside through them as they become acquainted with Wings. And as they get on board with the philosophies of the Wings program, they can share it to their children, which is so important because many of our men have children and they have sons and daughters, and no one is at home watching after them. There is no father there because they're inside. They are incarcerated. So our job is to tell them to make their visits with their children great. Write great letters from the heart. Make your phone calls great. Provide as much mentorship as you can to your kids so that they don't follow suit and end up incarcerated as well. This is a very, very important message to the men. And, you know, success in reentry is really, you know, on the horizon. It's the goal. The number one goal in our program is to get men home early, help them to succeed in getting through probation without a violation, and to never return to jail again. But a secondary goal is the stronger they are, the more they can do for their families, their children. So we help them to see the light and to embrace that responsibility once again, to get home early, and to be a great father in the day-to-day of life. And that day-to-day we call the 168, the total time available, total number of hours available, is so important. So many of our men out there who are incarcerated due to burglaries, home invasions, robbing and running, selling drugs, petty theft, domestic violence, assault, carrying a weapon without a license, many of our men are in these categories, and our job is to change all that and help them to embrace their families once again. And in the Wings program today, we are also focused on work and working on the books, doing well for yourself and your family, highlighting some of the non-licensed trades such as carpentry and landscaping, and window installations and siding installations and gutter installations. And we have Bill Monick, who has really perfected small and large business and helped to bring to light some of those job opportunities to the men so that they can either, you know, get a business off the ground or go to work for some established business, either small or large, union or non-union. To give them those opportunities and to see that they can do it, you know, if they really want to do it. Developing a work ethic is essential in the Wings program. There are men who have never worked before, never worked on the books, and they're out there doing favors for other people and getting paid on the side or under the table. Our job is to change that, to help them to, you know, go to work and to provide for themselves and their families. So the trades have become premier in the Wings program. And with Bill's help, we're showing those opportunities to our men. Very, very important. And, you know, thank God, my friends, for good men like Bill Monick and for other guest speakers who've come to the Wings program to help provide opportunities, both educational and job opportunities for our men. And we appreciate that. Once again, I want to just take a moment to remind you that you're listening to Joe Montone, your host, here at Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And so, as I mentioned in the WINGS program, it is a 10-week program, and then we'll have a graduation, and then we'll move on to another set of 30 men. But this is a great opportunity to tell you also that this is our 26th year in the WINGS program. And with God's help, we have been able to sustain 26 years of educational work in schools, prisons, recovery homes, and on the radio as well. And thank God for Holy Spirit Radio, who has given us the platform to express ourselves, to get the mentorship out there to people who are listening right now and who need the mentorship, who need the motivation, the education, the inspiration. And again, I just thank God for Holy Spirit Radio, who's really in their 20th year, and that is a celebration, a blessing. And we have a an association with Holy Spirit Radio for many years, and we appreciate that. We just want to thank God for Holy Spirit Radio. As I said earlier, when we began the show, we had a wonderful trip to Australia, and actually to meet some cousins of mine who live in Melbourne, and cousin Tina and John and Loredana and Ferruccio, and the entire family there. We have cousins who established themselves in Australia, which is actually over 11,000 miles from here in Philadelphia. An amazing journey, you know, which would never have been made without God's help as we journey across the Pacific Ocean. An amazing flight, first 6-hour flight to Los Angeles, and then 15 and a half hours on to Melbourne, Australia. And, you know, as you journey across the ocean, you can see the chart, the map, and you can see, you know, the airplane flying over Hawaii and just off to the left, New Zealand. And then, you know, as you expand the map, you can see that Melbourne, Australia sits below Guam and below Japan, and there's, you know, China off to the left. An amazing 24-hour journey into Australia, my first time in that continent. And I just say we had a wonderful experience there, and I highly recommend that everybody visit, you know, Melbourne and Sydney, Australia. We also got to the small town of Gervano, but I want to just publicly, you know, pray for our family there and for our friends there who are truly blessed with, you know, wonderful, you know, associations and family and friendships. And it was a true blessing as my wife and I journeyed on to Melbourne and Sydney. And, you know, as we did that, we saw many sites there. And we're going to share with you some of those sites that we went to. But I just want to highlight the fact that when you talk about, you know, the United States, we know that there were over 6.5 million men and women in prison, on probation and on parole. Well, in Australia, the number of prisoners in adult corrective services custody increased by 4% from 41,000 at June 30th, 2017, to 42,974 on June 30th, 2018. Between 2017 and 2018, the national imprisonment rate increased by 3% from 216 to 221 prisoners per 100,000 adult population. So this is, you know, again, finding God in prison, and very often we bring in statistics from other cities and other nations. And that's, you know, a little bit about, you know, the country of Australia. Australian adult prisoner numbers are on the rise. So wherever we go, we seem to need, you know, a focus on inmate reentry without question. Female prisoner numbers increased at a faster rate than male prisoners in 2018, up 10%, 326 prisoners from June 30, 2017, to a total of 3,625 prisoners. Male prisoners increased 4% in the same time frame for a total of 1,438 prisoners. Males continue to comprise the majority of Australian prison population, accounting for 92% of the total prisoners. The most common offenses for prisoners in Australia are acts of intended to cause injury, illicit drug offenses, and sexual assault and related offenses. So this is important. Since 2017, illicit drug offenses and sexual assault and related offenses had the largest increase in the number of prisoners, up 624 and 498 prisoners, respectively. The two offenses combined accounted for the majority, or 63%, of the national increase in the prison population. And again, we're talking about illicit drug offenses and sexual assault. Now, we know those are also, you know, here in the United States big time in different cities. What can we do to counter these kinds of things that we see not only here in the United States, but, you know, over in Australia, across to the other side of the world? These are things that are happening in every city and every country, is no question. And this is where faith becomes so important, and sharing our faith and getting people aligned with the commandments, what God says to do and what he says not to do. Very, very important, you know, philosophy in the WINGS program. But can we do without it? We don't want to miss the message, which is so critical for our society, for society in Australia. It's important that we get that across to our men. And I'll just tell you that the prison population in Australia is at its highest ever recorded level. Over the past decade, the number and rate of people in prison across all Australia states and territories has risen rapidly. Data released from the Australian Bureau of Statistics last week showed that there were, on average, 40,577 people in prisons in Australia during the first quarter of 2017. This is up from 25,968 10 years ago. The largest increases have been in remand, Indigenous, and woman prisoners. So this is an important part of our show, that we share with you the commonalities, you know, of our countries, of our nations. And although, you know, we have a civilized society, we have a tremendous population who have bad intentions, who are out there doing things that they should not do. So if anybody's out there and would like to get involved with the WINGS program, like to be a guest speaker in the WINGS program inside prison walls, if you believe that you have something to offer inmates, something to motivate them, to inspire them, if you believe that you have, you know, been called to be on the front lines in inmate reentry work, I'd like to meet with you, speak with you, and invite you to join us in the WINGS program seminars. And you can give us a call here at the station at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570 here at Holy Spirit Radio, and I will get in touch with you and call you back. But again, as we continue with our show in Australia, we really hit some of the great sites that were really fantastic. One of the great sites we did go to was up in Sydney, and you know, the Sydney Opera House is a magnificent facility. It's a multi-venue performing arts center at Sydney Harbour in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. It's one of the 20th century's most famous and distinctive buildings, designed by Danish architect Jørn Utzon. The building was formally opened in October 20th, 1973,
after a gestation beginning with Utzon's 1957 selection as winner of an international design competition. The government of New South Wales, led by the Premier Joseph Cahill, authorized work to begin in 1958 with the designers directing construction. The government's decision to build this design is often overshadowed by circumstances that followed, including the cost and scheduling overruns, as well as the architect's ultimate resignation. The building and its surrounds occupy the whole Bennelong Point on Sydney Harbour. And this is a beautiful harbour between Sydney Cove and Farm Cove, adjacent to the Sydney Central Business District and the Royal Botanic Gardens, and close by the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which is another magnificent structure. And you know, my friends, I've been there and I had the opportunity to see it live and to tour the actual the bridge, the harbor, on a two-hour boat ride or excursion, which was phenomenal. And it was just incredibly beautiful. And I recommend that, you know, when you get a chance, that you visit Sydney, Australia, as well as Melbourne. And these are two cities that I had the great blessing and gift from God to visit safely and return safely with my wife and visiting my family there. But I do recommend that you take the time to visit that location, the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia. And it was a magnificent, structure with many, many rooms. And the concert hall, world's largest mechanical action organ, boasting 10,154 pipes. It took 10 years to complete, and there's only one person in the world who can tune it. So it's an amazing concert hall that seats over 2,679 people. But there are many halls within this opera house, and it's just a fantastic display of craftsmanship and architecture and truly vision for something of this magnitude, you know, in the arts. So we tie that into the Wings program because there's nothing that you can't do if you have vision for it. And this is what the designer had. So I just want to share that with you because as we highlight some of the beautiful places to visit in Australia and tie in some of the statistics in the prison population in Australia, we want to invite you to, you know, take a trip, go on pilgrimage, and to go to some of the beautiful churches in the city of Melbourne or Sydney. And we had the pleasure of going to St. Mary's Star of the Sea Catholic Church in West Melbourne, you know, and this was one of the largest and most beautiful parish churches in Australia. For over a century, St. Mary's has been a spiritual reference point for thousands of people. In its early days, the church could be seen from Melbourne's ports, living up to its name by guiding many migrants to their new home. The life of St. Mary's is focused around the sacraments, prayer and worship, and spiritual renewal. Our aim is to receive the light of Christ through this church and shine that light to all the world in the midst of our families, workplaces, and communities. The Gothic splendor of St. Mary's makes it a beautiful setting for weddings, baptisms, and liturgical ceremonies. So we had the pleasure to go there, and we were blessed to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet there, and that was after going to another church. But I just tell you, my friends, it is a blessing to go on pilgrimage and to make your own pilgrimage. So I just give you that advice and inspire you to make that trip on your own with your own family. We're going to take a short break now, my friends, and I want to say God bless you this morning, and we'll be back here in just a minute. But again, God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host.
Listening to Holy Spirit Radio has never been easier. You can listen to us using your AM radio or on your computer or your smartphone. The easiest way of them all, Alexa, please play Holy Spirit Radio.
Holy Spirit Radio on TuneIn.
You can listen using the Amazon Echo, and it's as easy as asking for it to play Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for tuning in, no matter which way you choose.
You are invited to attend the upcoming American Catholic Historical Society's Spotlight on Local History on Sunday, September 15th, 2019, from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. For the first event of the season, we are pleased to feature two documentary projects that recount the history of efforts to preserve sacred space in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We will be showing short films, one on St. Peter Claver, produced by the advocates and descendants of St. Peter Claver, presented by Mrs. Adrian Harris, and a second on St. Laurentius and St. Peter Claver, produced and presented by Ms. Francesca Resnick. A discussion with the presenters will follow the screenings. At the American Catholic Historical Society, located at 263 South 4th Street in Philadelphia, PA, the event is free and open to the public with a light reception to follow. To learn more, go to info@amch.org.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
Welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison, and it is a privilege, my friends, an honor to be back with you on the air here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISB and 1420 AM WCOJ. And Again, I want to thank you for listening to us today as we kick off the second half of our show. We are blessed to be here, and we want to, you know, share that blessing with you. And right now we're going to focus in, shift gears. We're going to focus in on the Gospel of Luke, which is upcoming this weekend on Sunday, September 8th, Luke 14, 25, 33. And you know, my friends, the Word of God is critical to our success in reentry, but it's also critical to our success in life. And someone once said that the word Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Can you imagine buying a new television set without instructions? Can you imagine, you know, flying an airplane without a checklist, without instructions, without manuals? Well, the Lord has provided for us and given us the Word of God in the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, the tremendous guidance and directions for success in life. And, you know, earlier on, I highlighted for you the blessings of obedience coming from the book of Deuteronomy. And, you know, and Moses tells us, he says, you know, be careful to observe all the commandments I give to you today. He says, be careful. He wants us to be careful, to not stumble, to not fall, to not deviate to the left or the right, and to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do, so you can live and prosper, so you can live a life of increase and get beautiful blessings out of life. Receive the blessings of obedience. And instead of the consequences, very often we're stumbling. And here, we're going to be focusing on the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the four writers, creators, presenters of the Word of God in the New Testament. And it's powerful. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he returned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, in the Gospel of Luke today, we have tremendous, again, guidance and direction coming from Luke. And what are we going to do in terms of preparing, calculating? Okay, I just read to you a little bit on the Sydney Opera House, which highlighted the actual cost, the calculations to complete the project. The Empire State Building, 102 stories, a construction project, a race between two contractors, were built in only 14 months, 1,250 feet high. A lot of preparation has to go into these great construction projects. These visionaries who, you know, were given the vision to build the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, or the Empire State Building in New York City. Well, here in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's talking about constructing a tower without calculating the cost. What are we doing in a day-to-day of life, unprepared? What are we doing to prepare for the kingdom of God, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, going to heaven? What are we doing? The Lord says, in the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. And let's clarify, because if you work hard, it's a beautiful thing. The Lord gives us these blessings of a home, a family. And as we share these blessings, you know, we don't want to part with them and be left with nothing. So we share them. We enjoy them. But where do they stand in what we call the 168, the total amount of time in a week? Are we worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven? Or are we worshiping our possessions? That's what the Lord's talking about. Which comes first, time with God or time for our possessions? Think about it. In the 168, as we move forward in the day-to-day of life, what are your priorities? In the Wings program, we advocate for God first, and then you, and then family, and then work, and then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And the reason is, the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family. The stronger you are, the more you can do for the community. God says, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Oh, and by the way, whatever you did not do, Joe Montone, for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. This is important, but very often we see people, and we're all guilty of it to a point, where the possessions
become more important than our time with God. He becomes secondary. He becomes last on the list of things to do instead of first. Well, God says, seek thee first the kingdom of God and all else will come. And this is important. How do you arrange your time? What are we doing with our time? In the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's telling us to renounce those possessions. Put them second to me. Don't make me last. Seek thee first the kingdom of God and everything else will come. He's given us the strategy for success, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Very often, people lose a loved one after 50 years of marriage, and they have many possessions, but they've lost their wife, their husband, and they've lost the peace that they had for many years. Can't find peace anymore. End up going to the cemetery 3, 4, 5 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. Oh yes, the possessions are no longer as valuable as they once were. The things we once put on a pedestal, I must have this, I want this, are no longer valuable. I no longer need them because my loved one is gone. And that's because I can't share those things with that person. In the end, we can't take that possession with us. Alexander the Great said this in 300 BC, the king of Macedonia. He said on his deathbed, I have three wishes when I die, he told his generals. When I die, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin for everyone to see. Number two, I want all my riches, precious stones and jewels scattered on the road to the cemetery. And number three, I want my arms outside, hanging outside the coffin, swinging in the wind. One of his generals said, Alexander, these are three very unusual requests. Can you explain? Number one, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin to remind everybody that in the face of death, even the best doctors have no power to heal you. Number two, I want all my riches, precious stones and jewels scattered on the road to the cemetery, all my possessions to remind everybody that everything you accumulate on this earth will remain here when you die. You take none of it with you. And number three, I want my arms and my hands swinging in the wind outside the coffin to remind everyone that you come into the world empty-handed, you leave empty-handed. The most powerful possession, the most powerful gift you ever had was the gift of time that was given to you by God. And that gift is now exhausted and you're out of time. So make the most of your time so that you can live, love, and die in peace. Alexander the Great. My friends, a great message from the Gospel of Luke that we sometimes put our possessions before God. We sometimes put our possessions before our spouses, before our children. We sometimes idolize possessions, put them up on a pedestal for everyone to see. Oh, I live here in this development. Oh, I drive here. Oh, I have a sure home. Oh, I have this. I have that. It all means nothing, and it could all be taken away at any given moment. And we've seen that recently with Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. We've seen it many, many times in Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy. People losing possessions and fighting for their lives. Many times people have lost their lives. In 1985, my wife, who was born in Mexico City, survived the earthquake in Mexico City when the school building with the children in it fell down and a lot of children were killed, and she and her brother escaped death with minor injuries. And this happens throughout the world. The Gospel of Luke, the Lord is reminding us, be careful. What are you doing with your possessions? How important are they for you? Are they more important than me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and my Father? Where do they sit on your priority list? Who is more important? Your possession or me? And God's asking that question. And this is an important philosophy that comes through in verse 33. Anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. So if you're not a disciple of the Lord, who are you following? Who am I following? A very, very important question that we have to ask. And we must get this straight as we go through life to maintain the peace of Christ, to share the love of Christ and the peace of Christ with other people. This is at the core of the Wings program, my friends, where possessions truly are less important than God. People are willing to give them up. People every day, good people, are willing to give things up for other people. Maybe the most important possession we have, as I said earlier, is the gift of time. And when you look at the gift of motherhood, maybe the most important gift in the history of the world, the producer of life, mothers who are out there who give up their time and become number two to their child, number two to their children. And I've seen mothers with eight kids, bathing them, feeding them, changing them, taking them to school, picking them up when they're sad, and making it all happen day in and day out. It's an amazing thing. I've seen mothers carrying three kids into prison for a visit, getting off the bus, traveling, taking a day off from work, traveling by bus, getting off the bus, taking two, three children into a waiting area, waiting an hour to get in for a half hour, an hour visit, and then coming home on the bus again, giving up their time, their freedom to make a visit, but doing it all for their children and a spouse. Mothers, so important, the gift of motherhood that we should cherish and put up on a pedestal and not take for granted the gift of motherhood. Very important. And we see our Blessed Mother Mary, the role model, who said, you know, to the angel Gabriel, you know, when at the Annunciation, when she was told that God had a plan for her life, and she said, whatever you want to do with me, you can do it. And this is it. Be it your will, not mine. And Our Lady gave it up to have the Lord Jesus Christ as her child. And in the Annunciation, she was given that blessing to be part of the Father's divine plan. It didn't matter the possession she had. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. You can use me as that vehicle. And Our Lady was open to God's plan. Are you and I open to God's plan for us? Or are we closed-minded? Are we unwilling to give up our possessions, our time, our talents, our finances? Are we willing to give it all up for God? Think about it. Where do you stand today, my friends, as you you know, go through the day-to-day of life. Where are you in that philosophy? Are your possessions running your life? Or are they secondary to what God says to do and not to do? What's more important? To be a true disciple, we have to get our priorities straight and put those possessions, whatever they are, secondary to God. And he's asking us to do it. He's calling us to be a true disciple. No one enters the kingdom of heaven except a true disciple. And the Lord tells us this. And to be a true disciple, we truly have to do the will of God. Well, what God says to do and not to do is the will of God. And that's it. It's very simple. Whatever he says to do and not to do is the guidance and direction that we are to follow, what he tells us to do. And he is very clear about it, very clear. In the gospel, he tells us that multiple times. But that's where we want to be as a true disciple. And we want to prepare well, as the Gospel of Luke talks about, you know, calculating and looking at the cost to complete the mission. Henry Flagler was a great builder of Florida. He built the railroad from Jacksonville to Key West, Florida. Took him over 15 years to get the job done. He started at age 63 until 79. And due to a couple of tropical storms and hurricanes, he lost the equipment as they built the bridge from Miami to Key West. The long, narrow bridge, equipment fell into the ocean. Men were killed. But he didn't give up. He went on to complete the mission. He calculated the cost. He made the sacrifice. And he saw the mission through. He's a finisher. Henry Flagler is responsible for building most of Florida. And he was a man of faith who did something extraordinary. God's word says that man can do no great things, only God can do great things. But we can do extraordinary things with God's help. Extraordinary things, beautiful things, like building the Sydney Opera House or the Empire State Building in New York City, or building more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims like St. Mother Teresa. Powerful force for good, helping to take care of AIDS victims and the homeless. People who no one want to touch, the homeless, AIDS victims, the incarcerated. These are abrasive areas. They are areas of discomfort. They are detached from society. Our job, my friends, is to get comfortable with the uncomfortable and to move into those areas with the love of God to touch the hearts and minds of other people. The greatest gift in the world, other than God himself, is the love of God. And I truly believe that. And when we have that love within our hearts, we can share that love with other people. Second greatest commandment is to love one another. Are we doing that? Are we loving other people, or are we loving our possessions even more than other people? Think about it. Ask yourself the question. Be objective. Are you loving your possessions more than other people? Your clothing, your wardrobe, your car, your sports equipment, your vacations. Are you loving possessions more than the Lord Jesus Christ? More than the Blessed Mother Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Where do you stand on that question, my friends? I put it out there to you because In the Wings program, we want to be growing spiritually, mentally, and physically. And this Holy Spirit Radio, who's here for 20 years, has given us this great platform to grow spiritually, mentally, and to be out there and to share that growth with your children, your families, and to do it day in and day out, 7 days a week, with great programming, great educational tools, great speakers. As an affiliate station of EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network, worldwide. Yes, my friends, I traveled to Australia and I went to the other side of the world, 11,000 miles. We only have another minute left, so I want to say God bless you and thank you. And thank God for our family in Australia and our family here in Philadelphia. I want to say thank you to Dale and Jane for having the gift of Holy Spirit Radio and sharing that gift with so many wonderful speakers and listeners. I want to thank Frank for producing our show. And I want to thank you, my friends, for tuning in today to 1570 AM WISP, 1420 AM WCOJ. God bless you. And God bless everyone out there who's listening today and our children, my friends. Don't give up on your children. Give them 100%. Bring the love of God to their hearts and minds on a daily basis. I will see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you.